like to start this one off, because...
Come on, don't do this again.
Chocolate, it's lovely. Da-da. Sing a song about chocolate or something.
You just sang a song about chocolate. I think we'll use that.
You sing a song about chocolate.
You just did. Okay, we're starting now.
Nothing can top Gavin's Encyclopod song, so he should do it.
Okay, welcome to Encyclopod, the second one, in fact. Now, I have two guests here. One of them is the same as last week. One of them is not. Who is the new one?
I'm the new one. I'm Heather, and I'm new.
Yes, and you're...
I'm not the same as last week.
The final of my best friend set.
Oh, the square is complete.
Them all. Yeah. Well, it's not actually, because Stuart is not here this week.
Hi.
So how have you two been?
Lovely.
Good, yeah.
Yes.
We've had quite a busy week here at this place.
Encyclopod Central.
Yeah, that's the place
that.
Where we are.
I like that, actually.
Okay, should we talk about what we've been doing?
Well, we've been doing things to do with The Fringe. We've made a film and we had our first screening of that and a second screening as well.
We didn't make the film in this week as well.
No.
As showing it. We just showed it. We've been making it for about a year.
Over a year. Well over a year now.
And it was very much worth it.
It was.
It was worth the wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It was good. And Heather was the main character in it.
I was.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
With red hair.
You haven't really said anything about yourself, so say something about yourself.
Okay, I'm Heather. I'm small. I'm talking about chocolate today. Yeah, is that descriptive enough? Okay, yeah. I'm a zoology student, so technically I know about science. I say technically because I don't really know very much. I know these people.
Yeah.
Why did you say that as if you don't? And we just kidnapped you from off the street or something.
No reason.
Mm. Oh, I know something else that happened over the past week. My birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
You turned 18.
Hooray.
You're 18
now. Old 2 now.
Mm. Yay.
The youngest of the Encyclopod people so far, at least.
Yeah.
But is getting older.
Yes.
What do you get?
I'm sitting here nodding.
What do you get for your birthday, Gavin?
Money. A Dalek.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was really meaning. Yeah.
He has been terrorizing us with the Dalek for... past week. Say us, but I really kind of mean me, because I'm the only one who's actually scared of it.
Yeah. And, I watched Stardust last night.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much for that, Alex.
It's good, isn't it?
I like it, yeah.
It's better than Ratatouille.
No, it's not.
I kind of agree. I don't know, though. still.
Oh, what else I got for my birthday was lots of chocolate, which I've brought with me for us to consume.
That's appropriate. Why is it appropriate, I wonder? Why? Why?
Because we're talking about chocolate.
Yay.
That sounded so enthusiastic. Yay! That's better.
So, should we move on to chocolate already? Well, that wasn't a very long chat, but I feel like the first few shows we need to get onto the subject straight away because because people won't be interested enough in us to put up with all this chat. So,
okay, yes. I understand.
Okay, we're moving on to chocolate. And since we started with it last week, and it kind of worked reasonably well, I think, we should probably talk about what we knew already about chocolate before all our thorough research. So we'll go around the triangle again. And Heather, what did you already know about chocolate?
I didn't know a huge amount other than kind of what everyone knows in that it tastes nice. I knew a couple of things, but one of them something Gavin's going to talk about, so I can't say that. So I'll pass over to someone else.
Okay.
It can be bad for your teeth because of all the sugar. British chocolate is sweeter than American chocolate because I think it has more sugar over here. They like darker chocolate, so it has more cocoa. Chocolate can be an aphrodisiac, I hear.
Really?
Apparently. Mm. And what else? There's something else. There's lots of things I know about chocolate. I can't coherently put them together. What?
Sorry, I love the way you say chocolate.
That's just great.
Say it again.
No.
Go on, Jen.
You
gotta
spend the rest of the
Encyclopod
not talking about chocolate.
So you can't say
stop
chocolate.
Laughing.
You've just made Gavin not be able to say chocolate on a chocolate podcast.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's not made of
What's
chocolate.
What's so funny about the way I say it?
It's kind of got in the middle of it.
Chocolate.
Like chocolate.
Chocolate. How would you say it?
Chocolate.
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 I suppose the way I say it's kind of weird as well.
Yeah. You strange person. I don't laugh at you.
I'm just gonna talk while these two battle it out. Okay. I didn't know very much about chocolate at all. I just knew that it was made of cocoa and sugar and stuff, and that you could eat it, and it was nice. That's all. That's really all.
Oh, and I remember. Sorry, we did a bit of chocolate stuff and stuff it in modern studies, and we learned about fair trade and stuff. And we didn't learn out why fair trade was much better, but we learned about fair trade a bit. So I know that's something we'll build on.
I think fair trade chocolate actually tastes nicer than the other chocolate you can get. Well, some of it does.
Ooh,
quite possibly.
Maybe it's because you just feel good about eating it.
Cadbury's is maybe. Too sweet for me sometimes. For my
yeah. Really,
I like Galaxy a lot.
What chocolate do we like? That's an easy way to. That's a nice
Galaxy.
Way to ease into this.
Galaxy.
You like Galaxy?
Galaxy caramel.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Although I do think part of me thinks that Cadbury's Dairy Milk is the best chocolate because it's just it's what I think of as the neutral chocolate. All our chocolate is variations on that.
But you know, I think Galaxy, the main one, is the best. It's, you know, I want some now.
Well, do you think that Galaxy Ripples taste nicer than Galaxy Bars, even though they're technically the same? Because I do.
I don't know. I sometimes.
Well, texture really can matter. Make a difference to your perception of flavor.
Yeah, true.
So I've
that
heard.
That must be it.
A wise man.
Someone's been researching.
I just made that up. It probably isn't true, but.
I think no, it is.
It's fun to say.
It seems to make sense.
Okay. So, we'll move on to the where it comes from and stuff.
Cool.
Cocoa beans.
Yes.
Yay!
And what tree? Beans, what tree do those grow on, Gavin?
The cocoa tree.
Well,
the land of cocoa.
Some people call them cocoa trees, but the more technically correct word is cacao trees, which is like cocoa, but it has the O's and the A's swapped around. So, which I think the word cocoa kind of evolved from that because of some silly English importers making a mistake. But basically, cacao trees, which grow in tropical rainforests usually, are the source of cacao beans or cocoa beans. Maybe we should just say cocoa because that's
what
we all
know. Yeah,
it's
what everyone's used to.
Oh well. Forgive us for being a bit British in our pronunciation. But we can't help it. They probably originated along riverbanks in the Amazon Basin, people think. Anyone else know anything about them? Because otherwise I'm just going to like go off on a 10-minute
not really.
Rant about
I know them. They have them in the Botanic Gardens.
Oh, do they?
I don't
I
know. I know that,
at uni.
Though this is from The Simpsons, that they used to smoke cocoa.
Really?
Yeah,
no,
before. Is that not true?
I don't know about that, but I think that was a joke. They did used to drink it.
You mean The Simpsons isn't a reliable source of knowledge?
Maybe
usually
not,
it is, but not in this case.
It seemed quite believable, though, that they would smoke it.
Well, yeah, it kind of does, but I think they were referring to the fact that they drank it.
Right.
So Mayan and Aztec people used to make chocolate to drink, and they added stuff to it, like spices, and I think they added alcohol as well. So it was kind of a beverage back then, and
was it just made from the cocoa beans and other stuff? But how did they turn it into? Because I don't imagine it would taste anything like chocolate
up,
melted, would it?
Almost certainly not. They kind of grind up cocoa beans and then add lots of spices, and I don't know how exactly it works, but it was quite a popular thing. It was like associated with religious ceremonies and stuff. People used to drink it at those.
I wonder if it actually tastes nice.
I don't know.
We should make some.
If we'd had more time, then we could have tried all sorts of things about chocolate, but
mainly eating lots of chocolate.
Well, we still can do that.
I have lots of chocolate with me that we can eat.
Yeah, that's good. So anyway, cacao trees are quite small as trees go. They have deciduous leaves. And, well, there's plantations of them now, obviously. They're not just all growing wild anymore.
Yeah.
There's plantations of them where people, like, shelter them with other trees, like banana trees, because they need shade. And they're trees.
Yeah. Everyone loves trees.
Trees, trees, trees.
Trees, 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 trees.
Yeah,
Anyway.
Yeah, but they can only grow in kind of tropical climates with nice acidic soil. And I don't think I should talk too much about them. I have a lot of stuff written down, but it's just about trees, and, you know, we might do a tree podcast sometime, but this isn't it. And plantations generally harvest every couple of weeks, and the cocoa beans grow on it in a big pod that's like shaped like a rugby ball or an American football. And people hack them off with machetes and then open them up, and they have...
Sorry, I mean, that sounds so violent. It was all so fluffy and nice until then.
Sorry. Yeah, we're moving into darker territory. We started off with clouds. Gradually, we're shifting to machetes. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, is it... Inside the rugby ball or football thing, is it just... is it just one big bean that's inside?
No, it's a lot of beans. Yeah. That'd be silly if it was. They're quite big. They're like...
Yeah, Gavin.
Yeah. Maybe comparable in size to a rugby ball as well. I don't know. Okay, the earliest evidence of cacao cultivation is from about 1400 to 1100 BC, and it's in Puerto Escondido in somewhere.
Does that mean Hidden Bay?
Go look it up. What? Maybe.
I don't know why I think that.
Wow.
If Heather's probably right, doesn't. I think I'm mistranslating Shakira lyrics, to be quite honest.
Oh, wow. But if Heather is in fact correct, then please email us at someoneinsectopod.co.uk.
Or correct my terrible, terrible Spanish.
I'm sure it's not that bad. I mean, I don't know any Spanish, so... That's enough about where chocolate comes from and the early days of it.
Is cocoa powder just cocoa beans ground up? Because I imagine they'll have to, like, treat it as well.
Is cocoa powder just cocoa beans ground up?
Yeah.
Originally, it probably was, but I imagine they do stuff to it now.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure
about
that.
They probably add a lot of sugar.
I have a thing about making chocolate, but we'll get to that later.
Ooh.
It kind of stayed mostly around Mexico until Hernando Cortes, whose name you might recognize as the Spanish conqueror of Mexico,
came along. Mm-hmm.
And then he thought, oh, this is nice, and brought it back to Europe. And it became like a luxury item for rich European people. And that was in 1528, roughly. Since then, it has gained popularity, of course, and it's not like an upper-class thing anymore. But I think it was still in drink form then. I don't think people made like solid chocolate until sometime later.
This is the sound of chocolate being opened. Exciting, isn't it?
Okay, looks like we're having a chocolate break now.
Okay, guess what kind of chocolate this is. Answer after the break.
No, we're not having a chocolate break. I'm just opening the chocolates.
Okay, well,
to make less noise later.
Oh, that's good. But we can have more noise now because of that. How on earth will you say his name? Heather, can you pronounce the name of the person who first made solid chocolate, please?
Certainly. Where would I find it written?
It's on the book that I just gave you.
Okay. No.
You can't pronounce it.
I could try it, but it'd sound ridiculous.
Yeah, but you... It's sort of French-sounding name. You can speak French.
I can't pronounce the second name. Okay, some French guy... from Switzerland.
Collier.
Okay, edit that bit out.
Collier.
I'm not going to get any help from you, am I?
François-Louis
Collier.
Okay. We'll go with that.
So.
François Collier.
François-Louis Kaler. Or probably not Kaler. I don't know.
I think it's... Oh, it might be Collier. Actually, that can't be right.
anyway,
I don't know.
Anyway, he tasted Italian chocolate and then spent 4 years learning to make chocolate because he liked it so much, and he set up a chocolate factory in his native Switzerland at the place that is called
Switzerland.
That was in 1819, and he apparently was the first person to make solid bars of chocolate, although I think I read something contradicting that.
Wow.
I imagine more than one person would have at least thought about it and possibly tried it.
So yeah, imagine the credit. It seems like a long gap between 1528 when it came to Europe and 1819 when people made it solid.
But yeah.
I just found someone with an absolutely fantastic middle name. The guy who produced the first Hershey bar was called Milton Snavely Hershey.
Well, we're getting on to Milton Snavely Hershey later.
Sorry.
I have a lot of information about him. Although I only have his middle name as an S, so thanks for that. That's
no
a good
worries.
Contribution.
Thanks.
Snavely. So that was when solid chocolate became like a thing that people ate.
Yes, Alex. Yes, it was.
Oh, I forgot to say that when chocolate first came to Europe, the first thing that Europeans did pretty much was to set up lots of plantations with slaves on them to make it for them, which is very
European.
Well, I was European.
Just thinking that he must have brought back some cocoa beans or whatever or something to plant, because he obviously wasn't going to go back and forth.
Yeah, I mean,
to pick
a lot
it up.
Of
How but well a lot of, would they grow here, though?
No, it wasn't here. A lot of countries in Europe had colonies in more hotter parts of the world.
Oh,
they could,
okay.
They could use
say,
for plantations.
Slightly different climates.
Yeah, slightly. there's not a lot to say about the history of chocolate, really.
Then let's move on.
What is next on my list kind of ties into that, because it's the people who founded, like, the big four chocolate companies, as they're sometimes called.
Can I try and name them without you telling me what they are?
Hey, this could be fun.
Can okay. I? Okay, I think one will be Cadbury's.
Yes.
One will be Hershey.
Yes.
One might be...
Mars?
No, I'm thinking Nestle.
Both.
Oh,
you both right.
Nestle. Wow,
yep. Those are the big four, and they're sometimes called that. Not always, though. I did miss out J.S. Fry and Son, which was another English company. Wait, I haven't talked about any yet. So it was an English company set up by Dr. Joseph Fry, and apparently it was in 1756, so I assume it was a drink form of chocolate. But actually, yeah, I think that's one of the things that contradicted the thing about Francois.
French man.
I don't think he actually
is. Swiss man.
He's not French, don't say that. There seems to be some contradiction about when the first solid chocolate was made, but does it really matter in the end? Come on.
No.
No.
Facts, schmuck.
Who cares about the past
no.
of chocolate? Let's talk about chocolate being yummy.
Yay!
Do you want to talk about that now?
No. Okay. You have a structure.
I do have a structure, but it's nice to like have interruptions. Anyway, Fry's eventually merged with Cadbury. And so let's not talk about Fry's too much, but it was an important milestone in chocolate history. It was a chocolate milestone.
Wasn't it Fry's that makes those the chocolate bars with creamy stuff in the middle of it?
It might have
and
that
I'm
brand
sure it's
on it.
Got that brand on it.
It might have. I mean, it's probably made by Cadbury's, though, because they did merge. And apparently the original, the Somerdale factory, which was the original Fry's factory, is closing in 2010, causing the loss of 500 jobs.
That's not very good. Do you know, random
you,
fact,
Cadbury's.
There's a chocolate factory, I think it's called the Minor Chocolate Factory, in London, which is now a venue for shows.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, and Little Shop of Horrors was there.
Do they have Oompa Loompas?
Little Shop.
I don't think they have permanent Oompa Loompas for the productions.
I'm thoroughly disappointed.
Might come in handy for pantomimes.
Yeah.
But... I wondered how long it would be before Oompa Loompas came up.
Yeah,
I'm
I've been thinking about it. I've considered that.
Yeah. I might go in chronological order now of when these weird, strange, wonderful people started their chocolate companies. I think out of the big four, John Cadbury was the first one. He was a Quaker and he was in Birmingham, and it was about 1824 when he opened a tea and coffee shop. Now, I don't know how much you two know about Quakers.
A little, but Quakers not very
oats?
Much. yes, that's right.
He thought that tea and coffee and chocolate were good alternatives to alcohol, which he saw as causing lots of social ills. And so he started making, eventually started making his own chocolate with a mortar and, how do you say
pestle?
It? Pestle. I don't know if you'd pronounce the T or not. Pestle.
I would actually, but that's probably just because I read it.
And
I say chocolate, apparently.
So he rented a small factory in 1831 and was making his own chocolate. His business grew and prospered, and eventually he retired.
He's got a nice man, because he made chocolate and tea and coffee in place for alcohol.
And he had good intentions. Yeah, he wasn't an evil corporate man.
Yes.
I don't know if Cadbury has good intentions anymore.
Yeah.
But,
it's
know.
Hard to tell.
It started off good.
It's really hard to tell whether the Cadbury family still owns Cadbury's, actually, because, I mean, at the start of these companies, they're always like, there's like one person or a few people who are major players in the company, and they start it, and you know what they're doing, and they know their intentions and stuff, but as they go on, they kind of just, it's really hard to tell what's going on with them. Mm. They become more secretive, and you don't even know who's in charge of them. I was trying to find out who's in charge of each of these companies, but it's really hard. I didn't manage to find out about any of them, really. Oh, yeah, he was a nice man, though, because he campaigned against the use of children to sweep chimneys, in fact. Yeah. And he founded an organization to prevent cruelty to animals called the Animals Friend Society.
That's lovely.
Nice man, Mr. John Cadbury.
He sounds nice.
Later on, his sons, who took over the company in 1861, built a model town called Bourneville, which is a name you might recognise.
I didn't know it was a model town.
It was.
I know about that somehow. I don't know, I know something about Cadbury in a small model town. You can go and visit it, I think.
Yes, you probably can. And interestingly, it's still alcohol-free after all this time. There was a recent legal battle against Tesco, who wanted to sell alcohol there, and they lost.
Oh, right, in the model village?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not a model. It's not really... Well, yeah, it's technically a model village, but people live there. It's for, it was to provide nice housing for Cadbury workers.
It's not miniature, Heather.
Okay, right. Good. Yeah. How did you know I was thinking that?
Your facial expression said it all.
Oh dear.
Oh, I'm so blonde.
I mean, it could be miniature if they had Oompa Loompas, but they don't.
Oh, well.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that, Gavin.
That's okay.
Anyway, but Bourneville chocolate is still.
Can I just point out something?
Yeah.
Right, Cadbury's is made to stop, well, not to stop, but as an alternative to alcohol, but Cadbury's now own Schweppes.
They don't anymore, they demerged.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
In May 2008.
When did they merge, though? It wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't hugely long ago. It was a few years ago, I think.
And they unmerged.
Yeah.
I imagine they're still the same owners, they're just not technically the same company anymore.
Yeah, I guess. I don't really know, though. Anyway, Bourneville chocolate still exists, but it's made in France now. Interesting.
Alex.
Heather needs
to
wee.
Okay, we're taking a break. I'll edit this out.
No, leave that in.
Yeah, I will, actually.
It's funny.
Okay, la 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 la. Now we're back from the break. Heather has weed.
Leave me alone.
I'm sorry. And we can talk about Henry Nestle, who started some company or other. He didn't actually seem to have had that much to do with what we now associate with them, which is chocolate and confectionery and coffee and stuff like that.
And cereal. They do a lot of cereal.
Do they?
Huh. Yeah.
What cereal do they do?
What's the one with the bunny, the chocolate one?
Isn't that Nesquik cereal?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I think they,
it's
I think
not that well
Nestle.
Known, is it?
I mean, they do a lot of the whole grain ones.
Hmm.
It's Nestle's whole grain cereal.
Like, Cheerios.
Yeah.
Oh, they do Nestle. Cheerios,
yep.
Of course.
They're Cheerios, so good to eat.
Anyone care to guess what Henry Nestle invented in 1867?
Cheese.
Yes, he was the first person to invent cheese in 1867.
Did you read that, Heather, from Alex's sheet?
No, Gavin, that isn't the actual answer.
Oh, okay.
Wow, who's this low one now?
Well, no, I thought it could be.
No, he invented a nutritious food for infants unable to breastfeed.
Infants who are unable to breastfeed? Isn't that all of them?
I was thinking it, but I didn't say it.
It's breastfeeding.
You know what I mean.
Yes, I know. I don't know which one is the breastfeeder.
And which one is the breast... I know which one is the breastfeeder and the breastfeedee, but...
Breast.
Okay, and it saved a child's life, and after that his reputation was... People were singing his praises from the rooftops, and...
That's lovely.
And the product spread around Europe, and then he sold the company, and since then it's had pretty much nothing to do with him, and it's bought up a lot of other chocolate makers and coffee places, started making instant coffee, the world's first instant coffee, and it now employs almost 250,000 people.
Oh, the Nestlé.
And there are lots of people who want people to boycott Nestlé.
Nestlé make Nescafe. I think they do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Hmm. And there's big controversy surrounding them, but maybe we shouldn't go into that.
Go into it now. I want to know. What is it?
It's to do with their original product, actually, which is the... it's probably not the same product. I assume it's been developed since then.
I think it's SMA now.
It's what?
SMA.
It's a foods, powdery stuff.
Okay. But they market their alternative to breastfeeding in poor countries.
Where the water isn't clean enough to use it properly.
And apparently they make it sound in their adverts like...
it cleans the water?
No, like it's better than breastfeeding, when actually it is not. There are lots of benefits to proper breastfeeding, I've heard. And people are saying this, and I don't know if they're right, but they might be, and they might not.
I'm of that opinion too.
Okay, we're not trying to get political here.
We're comfortably sitting on the fence.
I can understand that.
I would get political if this was a different podcast, but it's supposed to be about facts. So there you go. Now, other companies that aren't Nestlé and don't market alternative to breastfeeding, like for example Hershey's.
I think you'll find they do have an alternative to breastfeeding.
Do they?
Really?
Yeah. Hershey's Kisses, because they're like tiny little breasts.
I can tell this is going somewhere rude.
And you feed on them. You can take that back.
Well, it's the same with Hershey's Hugs, because they're just the same as Kisses, but there's two different kinds of chocolate in them.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about any of these.
There's like milk chocolate and white chocolate kind of blended together.
In case we have any American listeners... Hershey's is huge over there, but we don't really have Hershey's over here.
No.
I'm seeing it more. Somewhere. Yeah.
Topshop had some Hershey's bars for some reason, which was a bit strange.
Mm. Anyway, let's talk about Milton S. Hershey from Pennsylvania. What did the S stand for again?
Oh, I kind of closed the book.
Listen to the earlier bit. If you want
Snavely
to know that.
Or something. Snavely.
Snavely. I think it was Snavely.
See?
He was apprenticed to a confectioner when he was a teenager, and he tried and failed many times to set up his own business, and eventually he founded the Lancaster Caramel Company. He didn't start making chocolate until 1893, when he bought some German machinery, and kind of, it sounds like it was like one of those moments in a film where someone shuts themselves off from the world and like becomes obsessed with one thing. And he eventually came up with a formula for milk chocolate through a trial and error.
Mm.
And he was determined to unlock the secret of it so that he could make it not just for rich Swiss people.
So he was the first person to come up with milk chocolate?
No, I think that they had like a recipe for it that they didn't share because it was kind of an elitist thing back then.
I see.
So he tricked it. Steal the secret ingredient and, well, it wasn't secret ingredient, secret blend or however it is.
Yes. Milton S. Hershey also sounded like a nice person, like John Cadbury. Treated his workers right.
Well, Nestlé was nice as well. He saved babies.
Well, yeah,
he did.
Yeah,
that's true.
Mm. A lot of these founders of companies are nice. And just don't know where it all goes wrong from there, but... But he also built a model town with, like, a department store, swimming pool, and an amusement park.
Again, Heather, not miniature.
Okay, okay. Thanks.
The town was called Hershey.
Does it still exist today?
I don't know.
Okay.
Something I do know, though, is that the man, Hershey, was booked to travel on the Titanic.
Oh. Huh.
But he didn't go because his wife was ill.
Well, I didn't know that.
Good for her.
Yeah.
She saved his life.
Saved both of their lives, I think. Right, moving on. Mars. Now, what do you suppose the name of the family who owns Mars is?
Mars.
Smith.
Mars, you're right, Gavin. It's just weird, because I always thought of Mars as like just a good snappy brand name for things.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought as well. I
find it strange that the company is called Mars and their main product isn't actually the Mars bar.
Isn't it?
I would say it was. I mean, well, it's what you'd associate with the company Mars, but I think their main stuff is the Galaxy chocolate.
Do you think? Because I would associate Mars more with them.
I would associate Mars more with them because of the name, but it's the fact that it's not like their primary product anymore, I don't think.
Okay. Hmm. Anyway, it all starts with Franklin Clarence Mars from Minnesota. Hmm?
Good old
it
Mars.
It does. Who had polio when he was young and helped his mother in the kitchen a lot. That's where his love of making candy, as they call it over there, came from. And he was unsuccessful for a long time, from 1902 all the way to 1923, and then he made his first Milky Way. Now, you two probably know this already, but...
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Milky Ways in America are actually...
Three Musketeers.
They're Mars bars.
They're Mars
bars. Oh, hold on, yeah.
That confused
hold on. This
me.
Is, that's very good.
This is, so, okay, we're going
to... Do you want me? Can I explain a bit more?
Yes,
just
you can.
Because it gets very confusing. Right. If you were to buy what is called a Milky Way over there, you would eat a Mars bar. Right.
Assuming you live here and
assuming you live in the UK, if you go there and you eat a Milky Way, you actually will eat a Mars bar. And then if you get a Three Musketeers over there, it will be a Milky Way.
Okay. Yes, I had that written down, but I'm glad you could say it.
Well, it's just because you could get confused, because if we said you eat a Milky Way over there, you're eating a Mars bar.
Yeah.
You don't know if you mean the label or what you're tasting.
He made the first Mars bar, what we think of as a Mars bar, but what Americans call a Milky Way. And that was his breakthrough single, which made him rich.
Hooray!
And...
Let's all have one.
Okay, let's
we have
eat
mini
some.
Ones
have
from
mini Mars
these
bars.
We're going to eat some Marses to celebrate.
We're going to have a little Mars bar.
Are these
bar.
Birthday presents, Gavin, that we're eating?
Perhaps. But I can't really eat the
Dalek. Yeah, we're all trying to open these with one hand whilst holding a microphone, which is kind of amusing.
I still like Marses a lot, actually. Delicious.
What is actually the main bit of it? Because I know it's the caramel, but what's the other bit? What would you call it?
I don't actually know.
Stuff.
Mars juice.
Read the ingredients.
It's got a kind of hint of Mars.
Have you ever tried melted Mars bars?
No.
Yes.
Oh, it's fantastic. Get a Mars bar, put it on a plate, put it in the microwave. Not for too long. Obviously unwrap it, because otherwise it would just explode. And then just melt it, and then just eat it with the knife and fork. It's brilliant.
Actually,
deep-fried Mars bar. Let's be traditionally Scottish.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've never
tried one. It's not hard.
Have
like
you
people,
tried one?
Yeah, like people go, oh, a battered banana or something like that. Oh, that sounds nice. But what's wrong? It's just a battered Mars bar. And it really does taste nice. But it's
that's
so
strange.
Filling. I should only eat half one, I think, the first time I ever tried it.
That's very strange.
I can't really imagine that.
And it is, like, much, much
wrong.
Worse for you than a normal Mars bar. Like, ups the calorie count by a ridiculous amount.
Very Scottish. Actually, when we did our Duke of Edinburgh expedition, we had melted Mars bar sauce on top of a Swiss roll. It made you feel so sick afterwards, but it was worth it. It was nice. Totally handy to make halfway up a hill on a tiny little stove.
Anyway, yes, that was Franklin Clarence Mars who made the first Mars or Milky Way bar, depending on who you believe. Now,
what did he call it? Did he call it, well, Mars?
No, he called it Milky Way.
Oh, did he?
He was American, yeah, so he made the first Milky Way bar. And okay, we'll get on to Forrest Edward Mars, who was his son. And there was a kind of rocky relationship between the two of them. He thought... His son, Forrest, thought that they should sell Milky Ways in Canada, which Franklin, for some reason, didn't want. And his father kind of seemed to exile him.
Oh, my God!
from the American branch of Mars, and Forrest Edward Mars ended up in Europe, like running the European branch of Mars.
No, we will not sell Milky Ways in Canada.
Get out of my country. You're no son of mine. Yes, that kind of thing. So he eventually took over the entire Mars company and ruled it with a bit of a temper. And
sort of
eventually he let his sons take over and always criticized them and was a bit of a kind of tyrant by the sound of it. And the Mars company still seems to be in the hands of the Mars family, as far as I can tell, which is quite unusual.
Yeah.
Okay, do you two know what M&M stands for?
Oh, no, I never thought about it either.
Hmm. It stands for Mars and Murray's.
Oh.
Who were their inventors.
Mars.
Yes, I think it was Forrest Edward Mars co-invented them with someone called Murray's.
Hmm. That's cool.
And now you know.
M&M.
Wow.
For some reason, I thought that they didn't stand for anything. I thought I'd heard that somewhere. But apparently not.
I remember being completely amazed by the M&M shops in America, because they had, like, massive tubes of separate coloured ones. So it's like a big rainbow of M&Ms around the room. And you can, like, pick which ones you want.
Yeah,
so they all taste the same to me. I don't know why you'd need
different
coloured ones.
No, what you do is, like, if, say, I don't know, we wanted them to for our football team or something, you'd go and you'd get the different colours for that. So, like, you could get, or if it was Hibs, you get green and white whatever. So you could mix them together and make whatever the colours you wanted.
Okay, that's worthwhile.
It is. I mean, well, it probably sells more than... Mm.
I suppose some people have an aversion to certain colours as well.
Mm.
Like blue Smarties. Although apparently now they don't have artificial colouring in them, so
yeah,
they stopped making
it
hyper.
Where blue Smarties came back recently.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. That's all the big four companies. Cadbury.
No, excuse me.
What?
Willy Wonka.
Okay, Willy Wonka. Yes, let's get onto that.
That's
the poor
right, Gavin.
Boy, his father was so mean to him. Mm-hmm. He liked making chocolate. He loved eating chocolate. And his dad,
chocolate.
The dentist, wouldn't let him have it.
Is this actually Roald Dahl canon, or was it just made up for the Tim Burton
I think
film?
It possibly is just the Tim Burton one, because I know that both the films have a different origins of Willy Wonka than the actual book.
Mm.
But, okay, well, who cares? Willy Wonka. Woo.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Woo. Can we talk about Toblerones before we move on?
Yeah. Oh, I have Toblerones.
Hey.
They're yucky, in my opinion. And for some reason, you always get them at airports.
I don't understand that.
No,
I don't.
Neither
I really
do I.
don't understand that. You can get massive bottles of alcohol, massive boxes of cigarettes, perfume,
mm-hmm.
and
Toblerones. And occasionally fluffy toys.
And Toblerones.
Yeah.
Travel toys and Toblerones. I mean, in fact, and I'm sure I have had people come back from holiday having brought me a Toblerone as a gift, because clearly they couldn't find anything more worthwhile, or they forgot about me till they got on the airport.
Aww.
Hello. I'd like to add, isn't Alex
Pause
and I have done
second.
This? Well, here we go. I had a fact about Toblerone. I just spent the past few minutes trying to find it again. Apparently the name Toblerone derives from the name of the Tobler chocolate firm.
Yep.
And Torone, Italian for nugget, which
yep.
sounds...
The Toblerone was first made in 1908 and in Switzerland by two cousins. And, interesting fact, the shape of the Toblerone was one of the first 3D-shaped trademarks ever registered in 1994.
It says here, it has honey as well.
Hmm.
It's made by Kraft
Foods. I didn't know that.
See, it sounds like it should be nice. Swiss milk chocolate with honey and almond nougat, or however you say
it. I quite like it, actually.
It's not
say
nice.
That again?
No.
Go on.
Nougat.
Go on.
You have to say things like that with a shrewd
accent.
It
always annoys me when people say nougat.
I'm sorry. Well, how are you meant to say it? I never know how to pronounce
nugget.
It.
I would say nugget, but
okay.
That's probably not right.
Right,
see,
I'm having a Toblerone.
Okay. Oh, Gavin.
Toblerone break.
Oh, these are made by Kraft, apparently.
I just said that.
Oh,
were
sorry. No, I clearly wasn't.
And now we might talk about the making of chocolate.
Mm. It's nicer.
Behind the scenes of chocolate.
It's quite a small one. Have a bit, Alex.
Okay, I'm just having a bit of Toblerone, sorry for this crunchiness.
Heather, go on, try it.
No, thank you.
Please. It does taste different from the other ones.
Well,
it's not as horrible.
If I don't like it, will you eat it?
Go on.
I can't believe I'm eating Toblerone.
Go on.
Okay, right, I'm going to try Toblerone and see if I like it now.
I actually quite like that bit. But I never really hated it.
It's not that bad. It doesn't. It's not like it's a smaller one we've got here. It's okay, isn't it?
It's okay.
It's okay.
I don't really like almonds though.
Oh, right.
Keep eating.
I don't really want to. Would consume, you like it?
Consume.
Okay, now we're moving on to making chocolate. Does anyone know how to make chocolate?
Can't say I do, no.
You okay. Buy a lot of chocolate, you melt it together, then you pour it into a tree, which is the shape of a chocolate
I've
bar.
I've done that before, but I made them into little chocolate hedgehogs.
Yeah, assuming the chocolate hasn't already been made for you, and you're not just melting it and then putting it back together.
Oh, well, if you mean like that.
Take your cocoa powder, or your cocoa beans.
Yes, take your cocoa beans.
And then Alex?
Roast them.
Over to you.
Okay, this is according to the website WikiHow, which is like Wikipedia, but it tells you how to do things, apparently.
Oh, I want to go on that now.
And first step, roast the cocoa beans in much the same way you'd roast coffee beans, using an oven or a big drum rotated over a grill, and wait till they crack, but don't wait until they burn. Second step, crack them, crack the husks off with a hammer, and then you use like a hairdryer or something to blow the husks away. Third step, grind the cocoa stuff into a fine paste, usually using a juicer, according to the website, although John Cadbury did it with a mortar and pestle, so you might be able to
old
do
school.
That. Yeah. If it's good enough for him, it's probably good enough for you. Then you conch and refine. It's called conching because it used to be done in a thing shaped like a conch shell. But basically it gives it its distinctive taste, smell, and texture, and refining reduces the size of cocoa solids and sugar crystals. And then you mix more ingredients in. Does anyone know what ingredients are in chocolate, usually apart from cocoa?
Milk.
Milk, sugar.
For milk chocolate, yeah.
Sugar,
yes.
Vegetable fat, emulsifiers, soy E442, stuff. E476, and flavourings.
You're just reading that off a dairy milk packet.
I might be.
Sugar, lecithin, I think that's how you say that.
Oh, dust fell in my juice.
And,
I'm sorry.
Any required flavours. Fifth step, temper the chocolate, which gives it that shininess and makes that nice satisfying snap when you break it. To temper it, you melt the chocolate, let it cool, then spread it on a hard flat surface, and then sort of knead it and bring it back together. Don't know if you need it really. And you keep doing that for a while, and you put it in a bowl, and then you mold it into wonderful shapes by pouring it into molds.
I just had a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
I once got a chocolate making kit when I was a kid. Which, it came with chocolate, and you just buy it and melt it. But what you do is, I had this this little bowl. It's sort of like a hot water bowl. You'd like fill it with water, hot boiling hot water, and then you put the chocolate in it, and it would melt it. And it came with loads of molds, and like they were all shaped like little animals or something. So you can make it out of that. But I remember it also came with an Easter egg thing.
Ooh.
And so I used to make Easter eggs. It failed miserably. Aww. You might have remembered, Alex. I think we might have tried it once.
I don't know if I remember that. No.
I don't know why it failed now, I just did because as a kid I didn't understand.
Anyway, you have to pour the chocolate into moulds when it is about 32 degrees Celsius or 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
I just waited until
don't know why it's so specific, degree. But apparently it's quite important that it's that temperature. And then let it harden and it's ready to eat. Also, if you want to make it by hand, you can use a mortar and pestle and do something with just a bowl of hot water.
Well, I think I know why you have to wait till
that
temperature.
Instead of conching and refining. Why?
I once got a Milka bar, which melted quite a lot from someone because it was
going to be good.
Holiday. And you know how it went really, really crumbly, and when you looked at it, it was sort of like white and strange colour, like powdery white on it. And it was just because it melted and stuff. So I think it's to avoid that sort of effect.
Okay, yeah. Well, it does melt very easily. Interesting thing about chocolate, it's quite an unusual food in that It's completely solid at room temperature, but it melts a liquid when it's in your mouth. Anyone know why that is?
Because body temperature is 37 degrees.
Well, yeah, it's because the melting point of cocoa butter, which is the main thing that holds chocolate together, is between room temperature and body temperature. And, so it just kind of dissolves when it's in your body. That also means you can make suppositories out of it.
What? Mm.
People use cocoa butter in suppositories.
Oh.
Nice fact. Also in cosmetics and stuff like that. It's quite a useful substance.
Can I talk about Lindt d'Or or Lindt chocolates?
Go on then.
You know the Heather was going to say it, but I'm going to say it.
You say it because you researched
it. It seems like this is the reasonable point. You know the ones which are the circle ones, and when you bite into them, like the outside's hard, but the inside's sort of soft, but once it's in your mouth, it completely melts.
Yes.
It's because of the enzymes in your saliva reacting with it. And it sort of catalyzes it and makes it all melty.
Enzymes.
Yummy.
Good.
I have
enzymes.
One. I'm going to consume it now.
I think you should demonstrate for us, Gavin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've only got one, though.
Well, if
I could have paced myself, I would have been able to save some. But they only had four in the pack. And, you know, it was my birthday.
Exactly. Mm. You're allowed to eat all the chocolate.
Here we go. Let's try this.
Hmm.
Interesting thing about these.
Yes.
They inject the stuff. They make the balls, put them together, then they inject the stuff on the inside. That's why there's a little hole there.
Oh, right. See? I see.
Yeah. I remember my chemistry teacher telling me this, and I was a bit creeped out by it for some reason.
What, that they inject it?
Yeah.
They probably don't use same needles that they use for their drug habit.
No.
I'm sure she said something about the actual middle bit, the softer bit, containing a sort of enzyme as well.
Yeah, I think it's one that reacts with saliva.
Which is just a bit weird. Gavin doesn't care, they taste nice.
Okay, that's quite a bit about making chocolate. There's one thing that confuses me about it, actually, which is that cocoa butter and cocoa solids are a different thing, but I don't actually know how you make them distinct from each other, because the guide to how to make it just kind of says, you know, you'd grind it up into paste and then it's ready. And I think it's cocoa butter when you do that, but...
Well, see, on the back of this Dairy Milk chocolate bar wrapper thing, it does say that it lists cocoa butter and cocoa mass as two different ingredients.
Well, they are, yes. I think they usually are in chocolate. And in fact, white chocolate doesn't have any cocoa mass in it, as far as I know. It's just cocoa butter and some other stuff.
I like white chocolate. It's quite nice.
It's
what nice. But they must have something else in there, which is the flavour. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they do. I don't know.
Because it's not milk. Because it's not just like a milk bar. What is white chocolate? There's a hard question.
It is a hard question.
Like, the main ingredient of chocolate, you would assume, is cocoa butter or cocoa.
Well, yes.
But what is the main ingredient of white chocolate?
Well, cocoa butter.
But what is the flavour? What would you associate with that flavour?
Probably lots of sugar.
Sugar.
Lots of sugar. It's very sweet. Okay, I was going to move on to something quite interesting that I found also on WikiHow. If you two could just eat chocolate while I read it, it would be more effective, I think.
Okay. Does it matter which type of chocolate?
Not really, no.
I'm in the mood for a caramel. Heather, what would you like? Do you want a truffle?
I'm actually kind of full. I can't eat much chocolate for some reason.
Oh, well, Gavin, as long as someone's eating it.
Gavin, you can make up for my lack of chocolate eating.
By eating two at the same time.
Yes.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
One.
Right, this is an article on how to eat chocolate.
Oh, I'll do it with just one then. Okay, I'm already eating it. What do I do?
Right, all the steps are interesting, but I'll skip to the last step because it's quite...
Okay. Slow down, Gavin. Slow down.
Okay, try and do what I say. Focus on nothing but the chocolate. This works with most tasty foods, but is especially appealing with chocolate. Close your eyes and cut off all sensory information except the chocolate. Pay attention to the taste and details of the entire piece moving around in your mouth and savouring the flavour. Allow the chocolate to overwhelm your senses and don't let anything else bother you. Practicing meditation can certainly help, as this is similar to reaching a state of meditation. If it is an exceptional piece of chocolate and you reach the correct state of mind, this technique can make you feel quite like you are having an orgasm.
I'm sorry, when you said that, I was about to comment on the kind of satisfied look on his face just before you said that. sorry.
Yes, that's on WikiHow, the article on how to eat chocolate. I suggest
Gavin,
you look it up.
How was it?
Well, I couldn't really cut off all sensory stuff because I had to listen to Alex talking.
Sorry.
And also, I don't like keeping chocolate in my mouth for too long, and I wasn't sure if I was meant to swallow it or not. Because it can, I need to eat it quickly because otherwise it'll get stuck in my teeth and it'll make my teeth go sore.
Well, so that I was trying to
keep it in the middle of my tongue without making it touch my teeth. So, yeah. Okay. But no, it was tasty. And then the fact that it was in my mouth longer means I'm having a longer aftertaste, which is quite nice.
Oh dear, Heather's going a bit hysterical.
Sorry. Turn off my microphone.
Oh, I was going to turn to you in a minute for the next bit, actually.
Okay, Rob, I'm back.
Okay. people seem to be a bit obsessed, some of them. But I was going to talk about, I think, well, you said you had information on the health benefits and or lack of health benefits of chocolate.
Whilst Heather does that, I'm just going to do the chocolate thing again because I know what to do now.
Okay.
Okay.
See,
and I want to
see how much
time.
You enjoy it. Yeah. What have you found out, Heather?
Well, I thought I'd make use of the fact that I can get to scientific journals, and I found quite a funny one. The first one I got to was a study which was sponsored by Nestle and conducted in the Nestle Research Centre in Switzerland.
This sounds unbiased.
It's a fantastic study. Their sample size was 8. All their subjects were male. And it somehow got into the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And what they did is they fed their subjects black chocolate, apparently. And then
black chocolate?
Yeah, that's what they called it. Not dark chocolate, black chocolate, whatever that may be. Because apparently they were studying the antioxidants in it and whether chocolate actually increased the amount of antioxidant in your body. And apparently it does. The more chocolate you consume, the more antioxidants are around the place in you. But I think they found that they don't actually stick about for very long because they're metabolized quite quickly. So, but they didn't really play up on that part of it very much. It was in the results, but not so much in the conclusion, which was also kind of funny. They're claiming that it's good for your cardiovascular health for some reason.
Males like training for the Olympics.
I don't know. And it just seemed a bit kind of biased and a bit pants. But it must have been peer-reviewed if it was in a journal, which is slightly worrying. But anyway... Yeah, apparently dark chocolate's better for you because the milk they put in milk chocolate inhibits the antioxidant activity
in
your body.
Yeah, I've heard
that. But I did find another study that they did at the University of Pennsylvania, which was quite cool. They were basically looking into why people like chocolate and if people crave chocolate for a reason, like if your body needs something from chocolate. And they found that they think that people don't crave chocolate for nutritional reasons. It's mainly to do with your sort of sensory reasons, like your mood, your hormone levels, and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, it's just Gavin. Apparently, it's the most craved food among females, and women like it more than men. shut up. He's putting me off.
What's he doing?
I just went about women liking it more than men.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, when women are hormonal, they like chocolate more, according to this study.
According to anecdotal research, do they?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this study actually seemed a little better. Their sample size was bigger, and they actually like.
Did you say the other one was a sample size of 8?
Yes.
Oh my god!
It was a sample size of 8. They didn't replicate
it
or anything.
Incredibly bad.
I think sometimes you can get away with doing that if you have enough replications, but they
really?
Didn't. I think I might be talking absolute pants.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad we had some information about the health stuff about chocolate because I heard somewhere that there was a quite professional sounding study that showed it didn't raise your cholesterol at all.
Really?
But I don't know, really.
Oh yeah, I also found that theobromine, which is one of the components of chocolate, I think it might be one of the antioxidants, I'm not entirely sure, but yes, that's what it is in chocolate that's toxic to some animals, which is why it's bad if you let your dog or cat
eat
it.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Oh, gosh.
You don't have a dog or cat, and if you did, you probably wouldn't.
You wonder why.
Okay.
And some chocolate binkles.
Binkles. You'd call your pet Binkles.
If I was going to murder her chocolate, I would.
Kevin, you're horrible.
Okay, now.
Binkles, the poisoned cat.
No, here's a little trivia thing before we move on to the next bit, which is a bit more serious. So we probably need a transition between this and it. Are Jaffa Cakes biscuits or cakes?
Well, that is one of life's biggest questions, biscuits. And I'm not sure I'm qualified to answer it.
Biscuits.
Well,
see, I'd say cakes.
Fortunately, someone has already answered it, and the answer is cakes.
Aha!
How are they cakes?
Because
I know they are. I think is they are like cakes in the way they're made and
they're
stuff.
Squished.
But
legally,
they're
though, they are now cakes because there was a legal battle in 1991 where people wanted to charge VAT on them because chocolate biscuits get VAT charged on them, but cakes don't.
That's very strange.
It's McVitie's who make them, isn't it? They put forward the case that they go hard rather than soft when they go off, which means they're cakes. And the courts agreed, so now they're cakes.
Wow.
Okay.
But they're to be honest, they are marketed as biscuits, and you would call them biscuits,
yes.
But legally they're called such. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, that's strange.
Now, here's the dark underbelly of the chocolate world. We kind of need to talk about it, even though it's a bit more serious.
But it makes me want to put the chocolate away.
I know. It makes me want to not buy chocolate anymore.
You should see Gavin right now. He's surrounded by chocolate wrappers.
Yeah. Alex, have some more chocolate first.
No, I don't really want to.
Aww.
I've seen there's a lot of fuss about fair trade chocolate. You do see a lot of it compared to fair trade other things, and I always knew that must be because of something. There must be some reason why fair trade in this situation was particularly important. There's another thing that would require proper investigative journalists to do it properly. So, I just kind of found news articles on the internet and stuff. But there's a BBC News story from 2001 which says that at least 15,000 children are working on producing cocoa in Côte d'Ivoire, which is a country in Africa, if you don't know. And most of them are kind of slaves. And it's really hard to tell where chocolate comes from when you buy it, because they're not going to advertise the fact that it comes from slavery.
Just to highlight, I think the cocoa comes from slaves, but I think it's made mostly, like once they've got the ingredients, I think it's made by machines.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it is.
It's the
getting the primary resources.
It's the cocoa plantations where the slaves work. And this seems to be generally accepted because the major chocolate companies have acknowledged that it's a problem, and they're kind of the thing is they're not really committing to doing anything about it. They adopted a kind of voluntary scheme to get rid of it slowly, in the way that companies do. They're like, Mars, for example, says on their website, Mars is at the forefront of the industry effort to address abusive child labour, which is nice, but they do still use chocolate that's farmed by slaves. So,
I mean, to make them not slaves, all they would have to do is technically just pay them more money.
Well, yeah, it's not really them that does it, though. It's they kind of outsource.
I think that's why they don't have to take full responsibility.
And it's hard to follow the kind of supply chain back to where it comes from, especially for consumers. It's practically impossible to know. I mean, all the major chocolate companies have stuff on their website. Like Hershey's says, we actively support economic, social, and environmental development that helps cocoa farmers, their families, and communities. But they are renowned as one of the worst people for buying slave-produced chocolate. So, yeah, who knows, really? It's not a unique problem to the chocolate industry, of course.
No, I think clothing industry is still pretty terrible.
Yeah, and the coffee industry is bad as well. So,
most anything imported.
Yeah. So that's one of the major things that fair trade chocolate is kind of a guarantee against. If you buy that, then you're not buying slave-produced chocolate. It would seem, from what I've read.
I think
it's, also they're more kind of fair in their payment of the farmers.
That's what I was going to say. The farmers, they get their fair share, and so do the. They're not slaves; they're just employees who are getting paid. Yeah. Probably not as much as they should be, but it's a lot fairer.
Yeah. So I've read a lot of stuff about Côte d'Ivoire. That seems to be the country that is most slave-y. It also exports about 40% of the world's commercial cacao or cocoa. So, yeah, that's a bit of a thing to think about.
Yes, it is.
I don't want to say that it... as I said, not good to get political on an educational podcast, but... We can say that it's made by slaves, but we just can't say that slavery is wrong. Maybe it is.
Well, I think we can say slavery is wrong.
Because it is widely accepted.
Maybe it's bad, maybe it's really, really good because we can get cheaper stuff.
Well, one thing I'd like to point out is that if all consumers stopped eating chocolate, it would make a difference. But just, I think most people who have stopped already because of it, I think that's probably mostly reached a limit. Certain kids will grow up and eventually find out that the slavery happens, but they're not going to exactly... I think only a few of them would stop. Because it's really hard to stop eating chocolate.
See, I don't find it that hard.
Well, I'm going to try now after that. Maybe buy fair trade.
Yeah, buying fair trade. It's not that much more expensive, but the trouble is, if people make an...
You have limited options when you're buying it.
I think you need the companies to do the changing, really. It's their...
Yeah, but you need to put pressure on them if you want to be involved in making them change. Anyway, that's probably enough to... talk about that, because it's hard to find out stuff.
Yeah.
It is made hard by lots of different things, like companies just not... You don't know if they're telling the truth or not when they talk about their strict moral codes and things like that.
I mean, to be honest, some of them would try and probably cover it up as best they can. Yeah. Not cover it up, but just try and make it seem less than it is.
Obviously they would. And I'm not saying they all definitely do that, but, I mean... It does seem to be widely accepted that Mars, Hershey's and Nestle all buy slave-produced chocolate. Cadbury seems a bit more kind of ambiguous. I'm not sure about them, but considering how complicated the whole supply chain thing is, they probably do, I imagine. Which I don't think John Cadbury would approve of that, you know.
No.
No.
I think he'd be rolling over in his... Quakery grave in Birmingham, if that's where it is. I don't actually know. So that's a bit of a down note to be the last thing we talk about. Anyone got anything to say that will make us slightly happier without diminishing the seriousness of what I just said?
I had a hot chocolate for the first time in ages yesterday when I went out with my sister, and it was really nice.
That's
I'd
old
forgotten
school.
How good they are, because I always have coffee and I never think to get hot chocolate.
I only have chocolate, well, in fact, now I never will again if it was this only circumstance, but I used to only have it when I'd come home from school and it had been really cold, like, you know, mostly winter. It's been snowing or it's just freezing or it's been raining and I'm soaked and it's really dark at 4 o'clock. Come and make a hot chocolate if there's the squishy cream, put that on top.
Squishy cream.
But... I won't ever have that scenario again.
Maybe when you get
hooray,
back from
I've left school.
Hooray. That is a thing to celebrate. And, and we have celebrations here.
Yay!
They're already bought, so it's probably too late to worry about any implications of buying it for this particular batch.
And it was a gift, so we don't feel guilty.
okay, I think I've said everything I want to say.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
Yay!
Wait.
Oh, okay.
We need to wrap up.
Sorry. No thanks.
Although
for
we are in a bit of a rush today. Sorry about it.
Yeah.
Sorry if we've seemed like we're rushing.
I don't think
we
have.
No, probably not. Probably seems like to have dragged on forever. Does it seem like that to you, Heather?
No, sorry, you caught me at a very bad moment there. I was yawning. No, it doesn't.
I've enjoyed it more because I was less tired this time. Okay, I think morning was more fun. And having chocolate around helped.
Have you enjoyed your first Insight Pod?
Yes, I'll definitely be back.
Yay, good. Because we need you. You're the only girl we know, really.
I know more girls.
Yeah, okay, you're the new girl I know.
I feel so wanted and loved.
You are. That's about it. Well, what's the best chocolate in the world? Let's finish on that. Oh, what would you say is your favourite chocolate? Oh,
Caramel Galaxy.
I like that a lot. It might be my favourite, but I should think of something else.
Heather? I can agree.
I really do not know.
Dark Hershey's.
Oh, they're good. Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
There we go.
I brought them back from Florida with me, and I finished them all, and it made me sad.
I think it depends on my mood.
Hold on, possibly Kinder Bueno. Which I've just noticed I've still got there.
I bought you that.
I know, thank you.
Wow, I didn't know it was like a candidate for your best chocolate
ever.
Oh, it
is, yeah.
Wow. Good, I'm glad.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that's about it for this week on Encyclopod.
But please, what was your favourite chocolate? Email someone at encyclopod.co.uk.
Yes, email someone at encyclopod.co.uk.
I like
we'll
that
have proper email addresses soon, I promise.
But that one's brilliant.
It is
brilliant.
Everyone say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye,
love
everybody.
You. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Have they gone yet? Do you think they'll stop listening?
They may.
They never stop listening.